We're joined right now by Ann Constantino. She is the president and CEO of Horizon Health Services. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Ann.
Hi, Jay.
Ann, I want to get into what is being called as a crisis when it comes to the availability of residential opportunities for people who are struggling with a drug addiction. I know there's a lot of different terms involved here for sure, but when it comes to getting a patient, somebody who wants help with drug addiction and who thinks that they need to be an inpatient, take us through how difficult it may be to get that person into the opportunity that they seek.
The opportunity actually depends on what the drug of choice is. If somebody has alcohol as their drug of choice and that's the drug that they're addicted to, likely the wait is going to be longer at a place like Horizon. We're required to, we have a waiting list, and we're required to triage the waiting list according to federal guidelines. So the most high-risk patients will be placed first on the list. So that would be IV drug users, pregnant women, those are really the top two categories. So it can be very frustrating for somebody with an alcohol use disorder who's looking for long-term to get in. However, there are different, we all work together. Everybody in Western New York and really across the state, we work together, and we will look to get a patient placed and then transferred into longer-term care if that's what they desire. So, we just continue to work the list and work with the patient about their, what their choices are and what they're willing to do. It may not be the place that they want to go, but there is availability, at other parts of the state, for example.
Now, but in Horizon Health Services, when we use the word beds, inpatient opportunities,
right?
How many are available at Horizon? And then the follow-up question, which also seems to be a big part of it, is there a waiting list, and how long is the waiting list for that?
So we have 168 beds, and we're opening. Good news is that we're opening another 25 beds October 1st, and those will be women-specific beds, which will be a great opportunity in Western New York to have a women-specific facility. The wait can be several weeks. We do admit people daily into the Crisis Stabilization Center, which is at Terrace House. So, patients can get in pretty rapidly, and those beds turn over at a quicker rate. And they are able to, once they enter there, they're able to, if they want to get into Horizon Village, to stay in a bed at Terrace House and then transfer into Horizon Village at Sanborn.
When it comes to getting inpatient care, what does somebody have to do?
Well, first of all, we have something called a level of care determination. So they have to meet medical necessity criteria for needing that level of care.
Okay.
So that's something that is done by a therapist or a counselor in several different types of settings. Once it's determined that that's the appropriate level of care, treatment is voluntary, and a patient has to want to do that. The good thing about Horizon Village and programs like Horizon Village is there are many choice points so that, if somebody really at first just wants to physically feel better and stabilize and not go through drug withdrawal without support, then they can do that. They may not be agreeable to further, quote-unquote, inpatient treatment beyond that. Recovery is a process the same way the disease was a process. So they need to have support usually if they have a family, for women that have children, their work, if they're leaving work, they're going to need support. But really that's all it takes is a desire and a willingness to participate.
So we were talking earlier about variable length stays, that there are those who they go through a crisis stabilization, which you've already mentioned, a rehab. But there's another element to it called reintegration. What is that?
Well, reintegration is when somebody has completed several months of treatment usually, and they're looking at discharge planning. The reintegration phase allows people to stay in a treatment bed, you know, in a safe place in the facility, and begin to connect in the community. So to go out on day passes, to have their car with them, to establish an outpatient aftercare program, to continue going to 12-step meetings, whether it's AA or NA, maybe do volunteer work or education. So it's really about them beginning to implement their plan, their community-based plan. And as they work through those issues and they stabilize, then they're stronger and able to move into the outpatient world.
There's a stat, I guess this is from the Surgeon General, and I'm asking more for your opinion on this, but basically it says that for every dollar spent on treatment for drug abuse or drug addiction, that there's $4 saved in healthcare costs and $7 saved in criminal costs. Do you see that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no way that the lifestyle of somebody who's active in their use, who, you know, has an addiction disorder, is so unhealthy, from nutrition to high-risk behaviors, accidents, and other associated things. So certainly it's very high cost medically. And, you know, criminal justice is people who are not criminals, but who are drug users who end up either through possession or driving a motor vehicle or something like that, a nonviolent crime, they clutter up the criminal justice system. So absolutely those statistics are true, and we see it all the time.
You know, there's a talk across the country in certain states, I won't get into naming them specifically, where there is a really remarkable lack of inpatient care for people dealing with drug abuse. It seems, just based on our conversation here, that New York State might have a little edge on this. At the same time, is more expansion needed? Are more facilities needed?
Well, here's the best thing about treatment in New York State, and I say this all the time, whether it's at my organization or most other organizations in New York State, because we are so highly regulated, which we, of course, always complain about in New York,
right.
It really does provide assurances to the public about what is being provided, who the professionals are, how rigorously we're required to do things, level of supervision and support that we have in New York. That is not true in other states. So, New York State now has a kind of a buyer beware campaign about their treatment brokers coming into New York State, trying to get New York State people to private pay in, you know, what looks like fancy facilities that really are nothing more than motels with pools. And New York State is very fortunate. And for many, many years, for as long as I've been in this business, which is a long, long time, New York State has invested in its treatment system and continues to invest in the treatment system, not only financially, but in terms of bringing best practices and evidence-based practices to the fore and making sure that we're implementing those. Is more more inpatient treatment needed? Probably if you aggregate, you know, all of the beds in New York State. I don't know. I've heard it said maybe not. Certainly in Western New York, we're not there yet, except that there's probably another 50 beds coming online in the next few months in Western New York. And that will, you know, that will be a big game changer for all of us.
And then finally, Anne, it's kind of a two-part question, but I'm going to kind of read between the lines from our conversation. You sound like you're very hopeful about this problem. But if you could, just take us through your general thoughts about how severe the problem is and how you believe at the end of the day that things can be resolved.
I wish I could say that addiction is going to be cured at some point. And, you know, for as long as there's recorded history and probably going forward, there will always be an addiction problem. The number one killer is still alcohol and tobacco, you know, which are both very addictive drugs. Of course, the difference with opiate addiction is that it's so lethal so quickly, and so the people don't see it coming, but still less than alcohol. I am hopeful because I see people get better every day, and I know that treatment works. I know that people get better in AA and NA. If somebody can survive the risks of addiction, they can get their life back under control and back online, and then go on to live very healthy and productive, spectacular lives in so many ways. So I'm not hopeful that the disease is going to be cured and that we're going to figure it out and it'll go away, but I am hopeful that even with education sessions like this for you with your audience, that the more people understand and know about what it's going to take, that they're prepared for that, and that they feel hopeful about turning their life around. And if they want it, they can get it.
Hopeful words for sure there. Ann Constantino, mm-hmm. President and CEO of Horizon Health Services, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Jay.